Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. How many of you would say that is you make that your life verse, Jeremiah 33, 3? All right, several folks here. I remember the first time somebody signed their Bible, Jeremiah 33, 3, and it caused me to look it up because it wasn't, you know, it's not John 3, 16. It's not one of the more popular. And yet, as I've been a Christian now for all these years, and I've learned it is a very popular verse, and there are many people that make that their life verse. It's very interesting to note that as many times great things happen when people are in prison. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, great things happen. I mean, Jeremiah, this is not a pleasant time. This isn't a what you would call a high point in his life physically. He's in prison. He's in the court of the prison. And God gives him a wonderful truth, a wonderful verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We are talking about a time for prayer, the month of September, and we've seen the attitude of prayer, the asking of prayer, the abbreviated prayers, short prayers in the Bible, anxious prayers. On Wednesday, we talked about that. And of course, we had Brother Williams here last Sunday. What a blessing that was. And I always enjoy spending time with him. But today I want to talk to you about answers to prayer. Now, I realize and have mentioned when we talk about prayer, we are really talking about talking to God. The word prayer is to ask. And that is much of what we do, but certainly that is not all we do. And as we think about the theme of a time for prayer, please, we're talking about getting to know God, spending time with God, talking to Him about anything and everything, praising Him, thanking Him, and all of that. But ultimately, we're wanting those answers. And we all want those answers to prayer. And I want to give you part one this morning and then part two tonight. It is just loaded with scripture. The Bible, as you well know, the Bible talks so much about prayer. But I hope you'll write some of these references down, especially, as we think about call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee. God has a lot He wants to show us. And we're going to find it as we call unto Him. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, it'd be nice to be in an auditorium like this when we call upon God. And several of us do spend some time in here praying. It'd be nice in a nice warm bedroom or nice warm living room, maybe by a fireplace. That's always a nice place to call upon God and spend some time with God. Maybe it's by a pond, a lake, or somewhere, a nice quiet place. I've been able to do that. Maybe by the ocean. You have to kind of work at getting there, but there's many, many better places than where Jeremiah was, right? I mean, most of us would not choose our place as being, well, the prison. You know, I'd just love to go to prison, spend a little time with God there, but yet he could, and you can, and doesn't matter where you are. It could be in a hospital room. It could be in a cemetery. It can be in a funeral. Not pleasant places. It can be in prison. It can be in jail. But the key thing is we're wanting answers to prayer. And so this morning and tonight we'll talk about that. Father, please guide us and direct us through your word and give us exactly what we need today that we might have the kind of prayer lives that we ought to have as your children. Forgive us for not praying. Just drawing nigh to thee. We need to draw nigh to thee, Lord. And I pray you'll help us with that. And speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the Bible, prayer is mentioned, Old Testament, New Testament, all over. If you look up prayer in any topical index, you're going to see reference after reference after reference to prayer. There's much about prayer, and there are many prayers. I thought maybe I would take all the different prayers. Well, that was going to go into more months than what we have. And there's just a lot of talking to God going on. And God said, ye have not because ye ask not. And that is certainly what prayer ends up being, is asking God, certainly talking to God, getting to know God. And we'll talk about that in reference to our answers to prayer. But it's interesting in verse 3, our text, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Okay, and again, You have not because you asked not. Well, you don't get an answer because you didn't ask for an answer. You don't get an answer because you didn't talk to him. And I think we all know that that would be true. And then he says this. He says, not only, he says, I will answer thee, but it's like the answer is, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He has so much to show us. He has so much to teach us. Now again, what's it all start with? It all starts with call unto me, he says. And he says, I will answer, I will show you. And the answer is, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. Now I know some people read this verse and they think that word show is the word give. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, and give thee great and mighty. Now, sometimes he does. And that's what he wants to show us. But it isn't always that. He has something better than what we think he might give us. He wants to show us some things that we don't know. You know, the average Christian doesn't pray. The average Christian doesn't spend time with God, and therefore they don't know what God wants them to know. You know, a part of our growth as a Christian is that walk with God where he's showing us some things that we don't already know. Oh, you could be saved 25, 30 years. God has things he wants to show you that you don't know. He has some things he wants to show you, some things that are involved in simply calling unto him. And you know, why do you suppose when we talk to God, we get tired? Why do you suppose, you know, we set aside this time in the early in the morning and you know, we're struggling? Why do you suppose we talk to God and the phone rings? Why do you suppose we talk to God and somebody knocks on the door? You know, why is it that Satan is fighting us talking to our God? Well, it's because God wants to show you some things. And literally, in his answer answers a lot of questions. Now don't let that, you know, that his answer is the answer. That's okay. So that's deep. No, listen. God wants to show us great and mighty things that we don't know yet. But we will when he answers us. And the whole, everything starts with calling unto him. Talk to him. Let him teach you. Let him show you. Let him answer you. And so I have several points this morning and then one point tonight. Number one, the answer desired. The answer desired. Notice what it says in Psalm 37, verse 3. And here's one of those verses. You know, it's kind of like one of the first verses, passages that you learn as a Christian. Psalm 37 and verse 3. And many of our children, they memorize this when they're very young, and what a great passage of scripture here. Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And here we have the answer desired. It says first, trust in the Lord. It says, do good, delight thyself. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, be a delight and delight in him. In other words, that's my delight. He is more important than anything. He is one that I want to be a delight to, and he is one that I want to delight in. Okay, again, a couple, a husband and a wife, certainly should have that kind of relationship with each other. I want to be a delight to my wife. I don't want to walk in the room and she suddenly frown. I want to walk in the room and she's glad that I've come in the room. And on the other side of that, I want to delight in her. Well, God says, I want you to feel that way about me. I want you to want to be a delight to me, but I want you to delight in me. You know, why is it we get upset when God convicts us? That's God speaking to us. And yet, boy, you know, Satan just stirs us up about conviction. You know, oh, boy, that teacher better not teach on that, or the preacher better not preach on, and it's like, you know, when we know, it's like Tom Williams comes, and you know he's going to preach about prayer, and you think, nah, he better not say anything, he's going to make me mad. We ought to delight in God speaking to our heart. We ought to be excited that the God of heaven would talk to me. We ought to be thrilled. But anyway, the whole idea is the answer desired. Okay, God, I want an answer. I need an answer. Now, you'll notice here, as I think about trust in the Lord, do good, delight in the Lord, this is not coming to God saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's not how we're coming to God. Okay, now, we often come to God that way. By the way, in many cases, that's the only time we do come to God. That's not what he's talking about here. Again, we're talking about answers to prayer, and this answer desired, a desired, not I deserve. Because seriously, if you tell God, give me what I deserve, then we deserve hell. So you don't want to pray that prayer. We don't want to even have that attitude. Okay? Trust in the Lord, do good, delight in the Lord. Not, you know, by the way, you'll notice with this relationship with him, okay, we desire as he gives us the desires. The more I'm with him, the more I desire that which he wants me to desire. Now, I'll explain that. And again, most of us understand that. It's not, you know, hey, I just want this, I want this, I want this, or I deserve this, I deserve this. No, he will give us. He will give anything, and the attitude in our world today is, well, you know, hey, God, he's your buddy. You know, he'll give you anything and everything you ask for. That's not true. That is not true. But he will give the desires of your heart if your desires are in tune with him. And the only way to have those, our desires to be in tune with him, listen, well, I'll get into that later. The only way to have our desires in tune with him is trusting in him. And just like it says here, trust, do good, delight thyself. In other words, he is the most important person in my life. And we have this idea, well, you know, hey, if I want it, God will provide it. That's not true. That is not true. But I'll tell you what, if you walk with him, he'll put desires in your heart that he will fulfill. He really will. What do we need to do? What do we, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. I want to have the right desires. I want to be a guy that gets my prayers answered the way God wants them to be answered. Well, we have to, first of all, we need to be wholehearted. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, 13. Hope you have your Bibles because we're going to look at several verses. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Again, there is no... nothing about we have to be perfect to have answers to prayer. No, we have to call upon the Lord. He said to trust him. He said to do good. He said to delight in him. He will put the desires in our heart. And what is it we desire? Well, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We're not talking about a casual type of a Christian person. We're talking about somebody who says, God, I want everything that you want for me. I wholehearted. God, you have my heart. Again, we're not talking about somebody who's perfect. We're not talking about somebody who never sins, because we sin. We're just talking about somebody that says, God, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Like in a marriage, I never have to worry about asking Brenda, what do you want? Never. I do not worry about that at all. Okay? What do you want? You say, well, why is it? Because I have her heart. I don't have to worry about asking her that question. I don't have to say, I'd ask you what you want, but I'm afraid what you'd say. I'm not afraid what she'd say. I want to know what she wants because I have her heart. And when I think about that, here's, you know, she will want whatever I can provide, and she'll want what I want for her. She's not going to want something that I can't provide or that I would not want her to have because she knows that I love her. Now, here's the question. Does God have your heart? In other words, you know, can God say to you, well, what do you want? What do you want? Well, I want a couple $1 million. Oh, I want fame. I want fortune. I want to be a big shot. Does God have your heart? Wholehearted. That's how we come to God. You know, again, to give the desires of our heart, to cause me to desire the right things, he needs my heart. He needs my heart. And I need to give him my heart. Wholeheartedness. Psalm 37, verse 3. We already talked about it. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know? I mean, trust in the Lord. Do these people trust me or not? God says. He wants to show us things. He wants to teach us things that we do not know. He wants in the answers to our prayers, he wants us to gain knowledge about him. But it starts with my faith in him. Do I trust him or not? Trust in the Lord. You say, well, why does that matter? Because sometimes what he gives isn't what we think is best. So I got to trust him. I just have to trust him. God, would you please answer this prayer? But sometimes we don't like the answer, and we'll talk about that. Look, the answer. You say, but I desire this. I desire this. I desire this. But God wants you to go through this series of scriptures that he's given us, and one of them is, God, you have my whole heart. And God, I trust you. Look at Mark 11, verse 24. I trust you. Can you say today, God, I trust you with my whole heart? I trust you with my whole heart. Because he wants to show us some things. Mark 11, verse 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them. And ye shall have them. Again, believe that you receive. Faith. God, I trust you. I believe you can do anything, God. Faith. But I've given you my heart. And I've said, I trust you, God. Wholehearted. Faith. John 15, verse 7. Another key ingredient. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. These aren't just, you know, we're not just pulling verses out of a hat and saying, hey, this will work. Look, this is Bible preaching and Bible teaching. This is God's word. And he says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. Why? Because he can trust you to ask what you will. Why? Because you're abiding in him. And the more you abide in him, it's interesting. In the future, the Bible says, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. But in the present, we should be becoming like him. We should be becoming like him. Well, how can we? Abide. It's that spending time with him. It's that truth that John found of leaning on his bosom. Of all the disciples, John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. How did he feel that? Well, because he was right by his heart. Because he stayed close to him. You know, if we think somehow in our lives we're going to get away from God and stay away from God, and somehow we're going to have answers to prayer and God's blessing and all that, I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way. It happens as we abide in him and his words abide in us. He says, I trust you. You can ask what you will and it shall be done. Because you'll ask the right things. You will ask the things that I put there. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know, the more I walk with Jesus, the more I find I need to agree with him, not he needs to agree with me. The casual Christian, the casual praying Christian, casually shows up every now and then and says, God, here's what I want. But it's not in agreement with what God's will is. If you walked with him, you'd know that. If we walked with him, if we spent time with him, we would know this is not in accordance with God's will. It's a matter of abiding with him. And the word abide is remain. That means just spend time daily, all the time with him. And we become like him. And he says, you know, you can ask anything. That's why I said, if my wife, I don't even hesitate. Honey, what do you want? You said, well, she could say, you know, she could say a new house or something like that. She could. She could say that. But we walk together. We abide together. And so she's not going to say that. Again, just think through it here. The answer desired. Again, I'm trying to show you it's not just whatever we flippantly like, want, or desire of our own will. It's as we spend time with God, we walk with God, we know God. It's God puts desires in our heart that are in tune with his will. Another thing is righteousness, James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. Again, you know, this isn't some little verse that we just casually read. It is the truth. It always amazes me how people will leave part of this verse out. They'll say the effectual fervent prayer of Christians. You know, that's what we need. But that's not what it says. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number one, saved. And number two, back to Psalms, doing good, doing right. Doing right, you know, righteousness, it is a key to the desires, the answers desired, righteousness. How about obedience, 1 John 3, verse 22, several times in 1 John. Again, it is not a strange thing as we recognize John's relationship with Jesus as the disciple leaning on Jesus and then the disciple that Jesus loved. I mean, he literally was so close he could feel the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. And so it is not a strange thing for John to also say, you know what? You need to obey. Verse 22, 1 John 3, 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We're in a day where the commandments of God are just pushed aside like it doesn't matter. God's happy with everybody and God loves everybody. Doesn't matter, but it does matter. Amen. To God. Amen. And if you walked with God and you talk with God and you spend time with God, you'd understand that totally. God is holy and he is righteous. As parents, anyone who's a parent, come on, if your children disobey, that puts you right in the mood to get them an ice cream cone, right? They're screaming and hollering in the car and they're fighting with each other in the back seat. And that puts you right in the mood to go to Walmart to the toy section. Now, I'm not trying to say God is in a mood one way or the other. I'm just trying to say we don't reward disobedience, well, except in the government. Why would we think God does? Yeah. Again, I'm not saying you have to be perfect because none of us are. I'm just saying, God, I want to please you. I walk with you. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And I'm walking with you. And I know, God, that when I do wrong, I got to get right immediately. In 1 John 5, verse 14, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. And I love that word confidence, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Don't you love that? If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. But what's it all going back to? It's going back to His will. Oh yeah, but how will I know that? That's what I just told you about right there. It is about a relationship with Him. That answer desired is something that He totally can trust you with. Totally can know that you're walking with Him, you're spending time with Him, you're trusting Him, you're abiding in Him. You're trusting that if He says no, you can't do that, you're going to walk away saying, well, praise God. If He says no, you can't have that, you're going to walk away saying, God, I trust You. You're in control. And you know what's best. The answer desired, it's not just our flippant once. It's not just our flippant gimme, gimme, gimmies. It is so opposite of the way the world is headed today that it is very hard for us to understand. But it should be very easy to understand when God Himself says, call unto Me. I've got things I want to show you. I've got answers that are the answer to your question. I've got things that you don't know that you can know. And it starts with us being wholehearted. It starts with us trusting Him, abiding in Him. It starts with us wanting to do right and please Him. It's a matter of us saying, God, not my will, but Thy will be done. Number one, the answer desired. Number two, the answer delivered. The answer delivered. And here's what it all comes down to, because honestly, if my wife and I, we have this relationship and I'm going to give her an answer, honey, can I have? You know? And I trust her. I can say whatever you want. You just tell me what you want. And because I know how that's going to be. But let's just come down to between God and us. And that answer delivered. Now we want Him to say yes. Amen. I mean, we all want Him to say yes, but realize this. First of all, no answer is an answer, and no is an answer. Many times. No answer is an answer, and no is an answer. But we want to hear Him say yes. We always want to hear Him say yes. You know, as a child, those unique times as a child, can I have this toy? We want to hear yes. Can I have this comic book? Remember comic books? You know. Remember they were 12 cents for the little skinny ones and then a quarter for the big thick ones? I can't even imagine what they are now. Can I have this candy? You know, remember nickel candy? Dime candy? Remember the dime store? Can you imagine a dime store today? No such thing, right? Now it's a dollar store, right? Yeah, one of these days it'll be $10 store. But can I go play in the rain? You know. Oh, you know, we have all these great ideas. And Dad, I know I'm grounded, but can I do this anyway? You know, we're always looking for those yes answers. Kind of like in the Bible, when Abraham prayed for Lot to be spared at Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said yes. Amen. Jacob, when he prayed for God to bless him, and God said yes. Solomon, when he prayed for wisdom, and God said yes. Nehemiah, when he prayed for God's help to build the walls, and God said, yes. Hezekiah, when he received a letter of invasion that scared everybody, but Hezekiah laid it out before God, and God said, yes, I'll defend you. Hezekiah, when he was dying, I love it. God said, get your house in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah prayed to God, and God said, I'll give you 15 more years. God said yes. Daniel, when he wanted to prove to the Babylonians that he could eat his own food and that he would still be healthy, God said yes, Daniel. Later on, Daniel said, I need your wisdom and your understanding. And God said yes. Joshua, when he fought the Amorites, and he asked for an extra day, and God said yes. Wow, can you imagine an extra day? Paul and Silas, as they're in prison, and they praise and they pray to the Lord. And God says yes and sends an earthquake and delivers them. The church, when Peter was in jail, and they begged God to help Peter, and God said yes. We love that. Prayers for healing when God says yes. How many times have we prayed a prayer for healing and God said yes? Isn't it sad that we just remember the times God said no? How about the times we pray and pretty much the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And we just kind of pass that off. But he did. And you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner and a couple snacks in between, right? And we just kind of pushed that aside because there was that one time when we just didn't have any food. But he said yes, and he says yes, and he says yes, and for healing, and he says yes, and for deliverance, and he says yes. But the greatest yes was when I came and I said, will you forgive me and save me? And he said yes. Praise the Lord for those yes answers. But let's understand something. The answer delivered sometimes is no. Sometimes he says no. And again, are you ready for him to say no? Do you have the kind of relationship with him where he can tell you no? I know people that have gotten so bitter because God said no. Angry, loved one died. Loved one hurt or themselves hurt, some physical issue or some other situation. God said no. And they just can't handle it. They just can't handle it. But he does say no many times. Exodus 33, verse 18. Exodus 33. We're halfway down the back page. Yeah, you say, I know, that doesn't mean anything. It should be encouraging. Exodus 33 and verse 18. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I don't think that's not my verse, that's verse 13. Verse 18, Moses says to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And look at verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. God said, no. And you read the passage, and God made sure he didn't. But if God would have said yes, Moses would have died. Are you listening? If God would have said, okay, here's my glory, according to God, God said, no man can see. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And so God said to Moses, no. Now, you talk about a guy that's walking with God, that loves God, that is close to God. And Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And you say, wow, that seems like that would be a great thing. And God said, Moses, no. And Moses stuck his thumb in his mouth, and he pouted. And he quit leading the people, and he quit going to church, and he just stayed home, watched football the rest of his life. No, thank God he didn't. Thank God he believed God, he trusted God, he walked with God, he knew God. And if God tells him no, there's got to be a reason. Because you know what? If he gets his way, he dies. Yeah, I mean, do you understand? He told David no about building the temple. David, I want you to gather all the material. I want you to get everything together so your son can build the temple. My son? What about me? I mean, David could have got upset. He could have been out of shape. But wasn't he a man after God's own heart? That's how you accept when God says no. One of the most amazing situations is 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. And again, write it down. It's a familiar story, and yet, you know, we sometimes are so casual about it, and yet it's our life sometimes. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And we believe it was some sort of eye problem. Maybe it was glaucoma. I don't know. Some sort of eye problem, it seems like, in references in that. And three times, Paul said, he said, three times I came to you, God, and I ask you to remove this problem from my life. Three times. I mean, it just seems like, come on. Have you ever been there? I have asked God about this I don't know how many times now, and he just doesn't. Right. Probably a year and a half, 2 years after my wife had her car accident, we had been praying and begging God to heal her and take away the pain that she has all the time. And we had a God Save America conference. And we hosted it, and Brother Hiles was there, Dr. Williams was there, all these preachers were there. And during the meal, on whatever day it was, we had the meal, I had Dr. Williams and Dr. Hiles and myself, we anointed her with oil. And I knew, I had fasted, I don't know how many days I fasted and prayed, and I knew God was going to heal her. And God said no. You know, you say, well, what do you do? Well, I didn't quit. Because, God, you know what's best. Do I understand? Of course I don't understand. But you know what? Here's what he said. I want to show you some things you don't know. See, we think that means gold, right? We think that means property. We think that means prestige. We think, but. No, he's going to show me something. What was he going to show me? He's going to show us, and he's shown her day after day what he showed the Apostle Paul in verse 9. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Yeah. The answer no is God saying to you, "My grace is sufficient. My grace, my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Yeah. David, in the Bible, committed adultery. A child was born to Bathsheba. David prayed for that child to live. David fasted, prayed, wept. He said, "Who can tell if God won't answer that prayer?" He begged God. And the child died. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And when the child died, the servants all were shocked because David got up, washed his face, sat down to eat, and the servants all, they couldn't believe, "Why aren't you mourning? Why aren't you upset? Why?" But David said, "I'll go to him." What's he saying? He's saying, "I accept God's answer of no." No is an answer. Just about done. Number one, the answer desired. Number two, the answer delivered. But number three is the answer delayed. And delay is an answer. It is an answer. It's wait. Delay is an answer. Good example, Daniel 9. And I'm hurrying. Daniel 9 and verse 20. Daniel 9 and verse 20. Daniel said, "Whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, 'Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.'" And I mean, immediately, God answered his prayer. Isn't that amazing? I mean, while he's praying, God answered his prayer. An immediate answer. But look at chapter 10 and verse 2. And here Daniel is praying. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. But Why is that? Notice verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Whew. 21 days. He had to wait 21 days to get his answer. But he got his answer. Amen. A 3-week delay. Yeah. But that in and of itself is an answer. You got to wait. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was going to die. The Bible says, just write it down, John 11, verse 6. Jesus is told, Lazarus is sick. The Bible says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick unto death, Jesus waited 2 days to go see him. Remember that? He waited 2 days. Quick, go tell Jesus, get him to deal with this today, right now. Our Lazarus is going to die. And Jesus waited 2 days. In fact, they said, if you'd have been here, he'd have lived. Why in the world would he delay giving an answer? Well, you know, which is the greater miracle, raising him from the sick or raising him from the dead? Because God, he did raise him from the dead. Sometimes the answer is delayed because God has a greater miracle. He has something greater he wants to do. And again, it comes back to this same word. It's just, God, I trust you. I trust you. James 5 and verse 7, just write it down, just tells us, you know, be patient. Be patient. The answer delayed. Again, yes is an answer, no is an answer, but the answer delayed is also an answer. What's it all come back to? It comes back to God showing me things I don't know. And you know, in many of our cases, we don't know how to wait. And in many of our cases, we don't know how to accept no. In many of our cases, we don't know how to accept yes. What do you mean? That brings me to my fourth point, and that is the answer despised. The answer despised. Number one is the answer desired. Number two, the answer delivered. Number three, the answer delayed. And number four, the last thing this morning is the answer despised. Because there's so many like David who you know, when the child died, they could have quit. They could have given up. They could have left, just that's it. Why? Because Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That's a true thing. Do you understand? That verse is true. Hope deferred. That means when I hope so much for something, when it doesn't happen, it makes the heart sick. It's a battle. It really is. But here's the thing with all that we've talked about this morning, the hope for it more than the hope for God's will is the difference between somebody's heart being sick and somebody, okay, my heart is, I'm disappointed, but I'm going to go on trusting God. That's the whole difference right there. It's within, what are you hoping for? Do we want our way, or do we want God's will? And sometimes that no answer is despised. But also it's despised when God gives us what we want. What? No way, man, that's what I'm after. That's what I'm all about. Oh, no, 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 no. In fact, I've watched so many people get exactly what they want. Just exactly what they ask for. Yeah, and I've watched it be despised later on many times. Yeah. Psalm 106, and I'll close with this. Psalm 106. Remember when the children of God wanted a king? God said, I want to be your king. They said, oh, no, no, you don't understand. We want a king, king. God said, you can't have a better king than me. They said, no, we want somebody everybody can see. We want somebody the nations can see and they can all respect. God, they can't see you. We want someone else. And they got Saul as their king. Remember when Goliath was challenging everybody and Goliath was bragging and cutting down the God of Israel and challenging the Israelites? Remember all that? Where was Saul, their king? Goliath says, somebody challenge me. By the way, the Bible's very clear to say Saul was taller than anyone except Goliath. Where was Saul? David, here's my armor. You wear my armor and go fight Goliath, David. You're the king. You're supposed to represent your people. Come on, trust God. He'll take care. Yeah, so the people got their king, didn't they? And they went down in defeat. Would you say that's an answer despised? Oh God, give us a king. I want to be your king. No, we want a man to be our king. Psalm 106, verse 13, many examples in the Bible, but the people, they soon forgot his works. This is after God delivered the people from Egypt. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Watch this. Verse 15, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them their request. You know the story. God had given them manna to eat, bread baked in the ovens of heaven, perfect for every person. Always enough, never too much, perfect. Perfect manna. And the people said, no, we want meat. We want what we want. God said, but I've already taken care of you. I'm feeding you. You're cared for. It is perfect for you. It is the best thing for you. And the people screamed and screamed and griped and complained. And the Bible says they lusted in the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert. And finally God said, okay, you can have it. You can have what you want. I call it the answer despised because the Bible, if you go back and read that, God gave them so many quails. The Bible says while it was in their mouth, while it was between their teeth, they were sick of it. They became sick. They despised that answer. And all God did was give them what they wanted. And I love what the Bible says. It says he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. It happens weekly. As a pastor, I watch folks. They get exactly what they want. But I know when you get what you want, you usually lose what you had. And it's a heartbreaker. Your body's happy, but your soul's not. Boy, wow, look at the meat falling from the sky. Boy, isn't that great? And I mean, while it's between their teeth. Oh, I'm sick of this. You know? So many will feed their flesh while they starve their spirit. And you'll get what you want. Happens all the time. All the time. But eventually, I guarantee this, you'll despise that answer. God will allow it, but someday you'll despise it. Again, it all comes down to, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to spend time with you. I am going to trust you. I'm going to delight in you, and I want you to delight in me. And I'm going to do right. I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to let your word abide in me. I'm not going to cast it out. I'm not going to push it aside. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. I'm going to seek the will of God for everything in my life. And then I'm going to ask. And God, when I ask, I want you to say yes. Oh, I really want you to say yes. But if you say no, I'm going to trust you. If you say nothing for days and days, I'm going to wonder what's going on. I'm going to check me out. I know there's nothing wrong with him. I'm going to check me out. And if I find that I love you and I trust you, then I'm just going to be patient and wait on you. because you have it under control. Tonight we'll talk about number five, and that is the answer denied. I'm shocked how many verses in the Bible talk about the answer denied. When I think of all that God wants to show us, great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And there's so much we don't know. Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? The answer, it is the answer. Let's bow our heads, please.